each of you, and greetings in the name of Jesus today. Thankful for Jesus and for the gospel message that we have. The gospel message is for people who sin. And so there's hope in that today. There's light in that we can be forgiven, we can be redeemed. And we can grow as a Christian. And we get ourselves into predicaments sometimes and we can't really find our way out of them. And we need some help. And sometimes we feel pretty guilty and ashamed. And we try to forgive ourselves. But there's times that you can't forgive yourself. You just need to trust in Jesus and his work for you. So Dawson, I commend you to Jesus, and may his peace be with you. And look forward to the months ahead that will be a growth for myself and for you as well. Well, the message this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Had some words going through my mind a week and a half ago, Wednesday evening, at a prayer meeting service. Brother Elliot led us in a song, the first song that we sang. And I had some words from Acts going through my mind as we sang that song, something that really in that song really connected to my heart, to my soul. And so if you're in Acts chapter 17, we'll go to verse 27. Halfway through that verse, we'll find these words as Paul was preaching on Mars Hill. He says this. He says, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Do you know the first song that we sang a week and a half ago, Wednesday night? Do you remember that song? I don't expect you to, but maybe somebody does. Well, it was number 139, and we sang, Lord, Thou Hast Searched. Very familiar song. Lord, Thou Hast Searched and Seen Me Through. Thine eye commands with piercing view. My rising and my resting hours, my heart and flesh with all their powers. My thoughts, before they are my own, are to my God distinctly known. He knows the words I mean to speak, ere from my opening lips they break. And it was verse 3 that really pressed in upon me. We said this, within thy circling power I stand. On every side I find thy hand. Awake, asleep, at home, abroad, I am surrounded still with God. Oh, may these thoughts possess my breast. Where'er I rove, where'er I rest, nor let my weaker passions dare consent to sin, for thou art there. That song really spoke to me because of the words I was thinking, found here in Acts. And there's a picture that came to my mind. As we sang verse 3, within thy circling power I stand. There's a circle. Children, what do you call this part of the circle? Does anybody know what this part of the circle is called? Anybody know? Say it. Circumference, yes. the circumference of a circle. Do you know where God's circumference is? It's nowhere. That's the center of the circle. Do you know where God's center is? It's everywhere. He is as near to you as though you are the only person in this world. But that fact does not make him any less near to all the rest of you and to me. Sometimes we have a bad idea about God. That he's like way far away, like other side of the galaxy somewhere or something. Like he's in heaven. Where's that? Way far away. That's wrong thinking. That's an error to think like that. In fact, it's a big mistake to think that God is far away from us. It's not true. And so I've broken the message up into three parts. Very simple message. But trust it can awaken again within us the fact that wherever you are, wherever you rove, and wherever you rest, that God is present with you. Though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. How does God show to us in the scripture? How does he show to us his nearness? How close he is? The title for the message is God is not far from me. God shows to us throughout scripture. He portrays to us how close he is to us, and he gives it to us in story form. And so I have a number of stories this morning found in your Bibles that will help us understand the truth of how close and how near God is. Where is God? The first story is about a young man. And he had lots of trouble. His life was difficult, but he deserved it. He was a liar, was a deceiver. Really, it was just his mom that really liked him. His older brother, things really went bad in the family. Things went south, and his older brother determined to kill him. And so mom and dad got talking together, and they decided that the best place for the young man was to leave home and to go find refuge at his uncle's house. There's no cars. There's no trains. There's no airplanes. He's going to walk. He's going to walk for 1 week. He's going to walk for 2 weeks. Maybe 3 weeks. Maybe more. How's he going to know where to go? Has he ever walked to his uncle's house before this? Likely not. There's no maps. You don't know what maps are. There's no GPSs. There's no internet. How's he going to know which path, which road to go on, how to travel? Where's he going to get his directions from the sun? North, south, east, and west. And so he starts walking. And the sun goes down, and he decides to lay down. He's tired. And so on a little piece of earth, in the middle of nowhere, he lays down, and amazingly, he got a stone for a pillow. How many of you think that would be nice? And amazingly, he fell asleep. He was sleeping. His head was on a piece of stone, and while he's sleeping, this liar and this deceiver, he has a dream. And in that dream, he sees a ladder, and it starts right where he's sleeping, right at his head. And this ladder goes up, all the way up to heaven. And there's beings that are going from right where he is laying, and they're going up the ladder. And there's beings that are coming down the ladder. They're angels. Jacob, his eyes, they travel up the top of the ladder. Who does he see up the top? He sees God. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. And God has a message for this young man. There, laying on a piece of dirt, with his head on a stone, it's a message for this liar, this deceiver. This young man wakes up. And he says this, he says, "Surely God was in this place." Which place, Jacob? In this place. God was in this place and I didn't know it. A little piece of ground, not on the map, was God. And Jacob became really afraid. Was scared. Didn't realize that God was able to be in this place. And he says that this place is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Where do you find heaven's gate, Jacob? It's in the middle of nowhere on a little piece of earth. Is heaven's gate. Right down there where there's a liar and a deceiver is heaven's gate. Shifting gears a little bit to a different story. These are to help us understand where God is, how near he is to you. We're in the desert now. It's hot. It's dry. It's dusty. It's barren. And we have walking in this desert, I believe, one of the most educated men in the world. He was 80 years old. I don't see any 80-year-old people here today. He had a job, and his job was looking after some sheep. And one day, as he was out in that wilderness trying to find something for these sheep to eat, which probably was a big job, he saw something. He saw a bush. And this bush was like bursted into flames. It seems like maybe that wasn't so unusual to see that. Maybe in that hot, dry, dusty climate, that was sort of normal. See some fires occasionally. Probably so. That didn't really catch his attention. But as he was looking at that bush, it's like, well, the bush is still there. And it's just engulfed in flames and smoke and fire. And all of a sudden, what he learned in science class back in school just came to him. The laws of fire and what fire does. And there's something really strange going on with this bush. It's not being burned up. I'm going to walk over there. I'm going to take a look at this bush. So he walks on over. He's getting really close to that bush. Moses, can you imagine just how startled he was? He was in the desert with some sheep by himself, and there's a man calling to him. Like, don't you think it was a little bit like, where is this coming from? Moses, take off your shoes. Because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. What ground, Moses? Well, it was some hot sand in a desert. I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he had a message from Moses. And Moses hid his face. He was scared because he realized that God was there in the desert. Hot and dusty, the least expected place to find him. changing gears again. This time it's about a child. It's about a boy. How many boys do we have here today? I want to raise your hand. Hi. You have any boys here today? Oh, yeah, we do have lots of boys. Even Brother Alec considers himself a boy. That's good. Well, I don't know how old this boy was. The Bible doesn't tell me. And so whatever age you are, you just imagine this boy being your age. He doesn't live with his mom and dad. He lives with an old man. They don't live in a house. They live in a church. Well, not a church like you know it, I guess. Like Kirkwood. No, I guess it would be like a tent. We'll call it a tent church. And it had rooms in this church. Bedrooms. And it's nighttime. It's really dark outside. I think it was really dark in that boy's bedroom. He's sleeping. Samuel. I think somebody called me. He hops out of bed. Goes over to the old man in his bed. He said, "Here I am, for you called me." "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So he goes back to bed. Burrows into his bed. He just starts dozing off to sleep again. Samuel. Somebody did call me. He hops out of bed. And this time he walks over to the old man's bedroom and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." "No, I did not call you. Go back to bed. Go to sleep." So Samuel, he burrows into his bed, pulls the covers up over him. Samuel, this time he knows somebody did call him for sure. And he gets out of his bed and goes to the old man and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." The old man started to wake up a little bit. He perceived that the Lord was calling Samuel. He said, "Son, go back to bed. If he calls you again, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel goes back to bed. This boy has become very aware of the fact that there's somebody else in his bedroom. And it's really dark in his bedroom. Now somebody's getting closer to his bed. "Samuel, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening." God had a message for a boy. Where did you sleep last night? Do you know that you've slept where you've always slept? You've never slept anywhere else. You've always slept in the presence of God. You have always gotten up in the presence of God. You have spent your whole life up to this point in the presence of God. He's in desert places, he's in lonely places, he's in bedrooms, he's in busy places, he's in places when your parents are not with you, he's beside you even if you're a liar. Another story. It's Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord, and he was sitting on his throne, and it was high, and it was lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His robe filled the temple. And above him and behind him were seraphs, and they had six wings, and with two wings they covered their faces. Two wings, they covered their feet. And with two wings, they flew. And they cried out one to another, and they said, "Holy, Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is how the Bible teaches to us the nearness of God. Now, just some warnings to us, some wake-up calls to us as we think about the reality of how near God is to us, how close he is. These words from Acts chapter 17, though he be not far from every one of us, from him we live and move and have our being. I have them underlined and I have written that these words will change your life forever. If you were to think about these words every day, if you were to memorize these words, have them come into your mind throughout your day, and you would believe these words with all of your heart, that he is not far from you, it'll change your life. It'll give you a lot of joy because of who's near to you. It'll help you walk right because of who's near to you. Well, the last time you said an idle word, maybe it was a swear word. Maybe you used God's name cheaply. Did you think about it? That you said that in the presence of God? The last time that you deceived somebody, that you twisted the details to protect yourself a little bit, and you weren't 100% truthful, did you know that you did that in the presence of God? The last time that you got angry and you lost control of your anger and you said words and you did things that were not fitting for a Christian to have done, did you think about it that you dared to do that in the presence of God? The last time that you were in your bedroom all by yourself, did you think about that what you were doing in your bedroom, you were doing in the presence of God? The last time that you were online looking at and reading things that were unfit for Christians to read and to look at, do you know that you dared to do that in the presence of God? The last time that I drove or that you drove your vehicle recklessly, carelessly, maybe even raced with your vehicle, endangered your life, other people's lives, did you know that you did that in the presence of God? Well, that list could go on and on indefinitely. We need to remind ourselves of where God is. He is not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. You and I were never out of God's hearing. We're never out of God's sight. We're never out of his presence. And this is the truth that you and I know. But sometimes the way I live my life shows that I'm indifferent to this truth and I don't really care about it. This very God that made you, keeps your heart beating, makes your eyes to see, gives you food to eat, gives you clothes to wear, house to live in. He really has done nothing but good to you. And you're living somewhat indifferently to his presence. And so all of your life, your thoughts, and your motives, they're all known and they're all seen before the God who created you. He is not far from every one of us. He is nearer to you than your hand is to you. He is not feet and inches away from you. That's not a correct picture. This is a matter of the heart. He is that near to you. And so, if you seek him this morning with all of your heart, you will find him because he is here. Not there. Well, he's there too, but he's here. Isaiah 55 and verse 7, he says this to us. He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." This is the message of the gospel given to us in Isaiah. And you and I, as we look back in our lives, we have all done things that we are ashamed of, that we've chosen to do them in the very presence of God. But I'm thankful today to extend mercy to you, to all of us, that even though we have done things that have been in direct defiance to the God who has made us, he is with open arms this morning giving to us mercy. And he will fully pardon. And so I will give that message to us all. Now, just briefly, just some comforts and some encouragements that we can find knowing he is not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Someone has said this, that the fear of God is the soul of godliness. The fear of God is what gives godliness its heartbeat and its pulse. What is the fear of God? Fear of God this morning is knowing and believing and living he's not far from every one of us. It's believing that the presence of God is right with you everywhere you go, everything you do. It's living with that mindset that God is here. And so, it's actually easy to walk with God. You can walk with him while you do your work. You can walk with him while you're with your family. You can walk with him while you're with the youth. You can walk with him wherever and whatever you do because he's near. He's here. He's right with you. When you're facing temptation, think about it. He's here. God is here. When you're facing danger, when you're facing disappointments, you're facing heartaches, maybe you're just so happy with joy. Remind yourself that God is here. He's near. Moses said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Spurgeon says you can pray without ceasing because he is here without ceasing. Think about Job and the hedge that God had about Job. There's protection that you have as a child of God. There is nothing that God will not allow to come to you unless he gives his permission for it to come. And so you and I, as a child of God, we will spend our entire lives protected by the fatherly presence of God. We should maybe be the happiest people on the earth because of who our protector is. But we fail and we sin and we fall. We have our heartaches, our calamities, our collisions. And we have moments when we're really low and we're really discouraged and we wonder, when will the help come? Well, this verse was already mentioned, but Psalms 46 tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So take comfort this morning as a child of God. He is near to you. Nothing can harm you unless he gives his permission for it to come. Changing gears slightly, but I don't know if any of you struggle with being afraid to talk to people about Jesus. An opportunity comes for you to speak a word for Jesus, to say something about what the Bible says. You have an opportunity with your neighbor or somebody that you work with, and you choose to be quiet. This has helped me to think about this truth, that even though I feel a little scared and a little timid, but did you ever think about the fact that you can talk about Jesus in his presence? Jesus hears the words that you speak to that individual. And if I don't speak any words, Jesus can't use those words. Those words may seem weak. They may have seemed not quite right, a little faltering, a little bit not on track. We did our best. Jesus heard those words. He was there with you. Speak the words and let Jesus take the words into the other person's heart and into their mind. But you need to do your part. Jesus won't speak the words for you. You need to do it. And so take courage the next time that you're facing an opportunity and you want to be quiet. Remember that Jesus is there with you and he will hear you talking about him. That's quite a thought. Now, the last point I have, I'd like to talk to you about your death. Maybe you think you won't have one. Maybe you think Jesus is going to come back and you can leave this world without dying. That's quite a thought. Let's just suppose this morning that all of us here, sitting here today, are going to die. When are you going to die? Where are you going to die? How are you going to die? Who will be with you when you die? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know who's going to be with you when you die. You can have full confidence of who's going to be with you when you die. Did you ever think about it? That you will go from the very presence of God into the very presence of God? It doesn't sound too scary, does it? Though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Thank God for his presence in your life. It's a gift. May it help us, keep us going right, comfort you, and keep you until you draw your last breath. You can die with full confidence that he's there. Let's kneel for prayer.